Well, thank you, Pastor David. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, KWCF. So that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. I'm not used to saying that this early in the morning as well. Our services were always at about 3 p.m. But good morning, everyone. And it's so nice to have you here today. I hope you've all had a blessed week. And if it is your first time joining us in person or online, we just want to welcome you home as well. As you heard from Pastor David, today we're celebrating a very important day on the Christian calendar. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. These past 2 weeks, actually, my wife and I and her parents, my in-laws, have been actually going to the movies the last couple weeks. I don't know if many of you have gone to see The Chosen. We went to go see their adaptation of this moment in history. And yesterday, we actually took our niece to go see the cartoon King of Kings. So I don't know if any of you have taken your kids to go see the King of Kings. I took the opportunity to take my daughter, who's not a child. But we went as well to go see the King of Kings. It was an awesome movie about Jesus's life for children. I recommend it, although there were some moments in it where I was a little bit taken back. It looked pretty serious, some of the stuff, but it is an awesome way to reach out to your children as well. And to tell the story, I know our niece was asking a lot of questions of my wife about it as well. So I encourage you to do that. But what powerful scenes in both of these adaptations of the crowds shouting out, "Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." See, Jesus' triumphal entry marks the beginning of what's known around the world as Holy Week. 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating Palm Sunday in order to commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into the streets of Jerusalem, with people welcoming him and waving palm branches and proclaiming him as king. Now, some of you might have had childhood memories of waving palm branches in the church and being allowed to actually whoop it up and cheer loudly for just a moment. I remember as a child being allowed to do that and actually finding it strange being in church yelling and screaming and woohoo in that moment. But in that, it was okay in that moment. We weren't told to be quiet. But what does this moment truly mean to us? And while many of us sense the celebration in the day, the significance might be just a little bit more distant for others. So today I want us to look at God's word and see what scripture actually teaches us about that day and what it means for us. If you actually have your Bibles here today, I would like you to turn to Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Now, I don't carry my Bible with me, but not because I don't want to carry it. The words are just too small for me, as you see. This has to be my Bible. They got to be pretty big for my eyesight, or else then I got to wear glasses, then I'm squinting at everybody. You don't want to see that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to me to page 10. And we're going to read the story about Jesus' triumphal entry. "Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has sat. Loose it, bring it to me, and if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it," and immediately he will send it here." So they went on their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside the street, and they loosed it. But in that moment, someone stood there, and they said, "What are you doing loosing that colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and then they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees, and they spread that on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, singing, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, church, when Jesus rode into town greeted by the crowds, this was no ordinary, "Hey, everybody, Jesus is here" type of welcome. This was not something they were used to. Now, Jesus had been greeted by plenty of crowds before. You know, if you remember throughout Scripture, he had fed the 4,000, he fed the 5,000, but this time, everybody knew that this was different. Scripture said that Jesus arrives at the holy city from the direction of the Mount of Olives, from the direction from which the Messiah was to come according to the prophets of the Old Testament. It was a special moment. That is why he sent his disciples to bring him a donkey to make this moment official. See, in Zechariah 9:9, Jesus' entrance was actually foretold in the prophecies. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Israel, of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, church, Palm Sunday was the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, because on that day, the daughters of Jerusalem did shout in triumph, and her Savior did ride in humbly, mounted on a colt. See, choosing a donkey held a significant symbolism for Jesus. During those ancient times, kings who came in victorious in triumph usually rode in on a white stallion or in a chariot. Those who rode mules came in peace. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem humbly and in peace. He did not come to depose the Roman Empire, as many believed, but he came to establish a new kingdom, a different kingdom. Unlike the kingdoms of this world that eventually fall, they eventually crumble, this new kingdom Jesus was bringing into the world would never fade. It would never crumble, but would last forever. Now, I have spoken on the triumphal entry many times over the years, and I have read over this passage many, many more times over those years. But one thing that caught my eye this time as I prepared for my message was this one phrase that I had never noticed before, even though I had read through this many times, this one phrase, and it was Scripture mentioning about what it said about the donkey, that the donkey had never been sat on before. This donkey was actually bred to work. If you know about donkeys, they're bred to work. They're created to carry heavy loads. Some even say they're burdened with heavy loads. Yet Scripture says that this donkey had never been touched, passed over. Perhaps one would even feel as if this donkey had been forgotten. And in that moment, I was actually moved by those words. In that moment, I felt like this donkey. And not just because my wife has said that sometimes I act like one, but I actually felt like this donkey. I felt moved in my heart, because how many of us have felt at one time or another in our lives left behind? How many of us have felt that we have been passed over or maybe even forgotten about completely? Maybe we have even felt unworthy or not good enough because of our past mistakes. I know that for me, myself, I felt that way. When God was calling me to ministry, I actually fought him for 2 years because I didn't want to. I didn't think that I deserved to be up here and even preaching how good he was. You know how John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. Well, I'm not even worthy to carry the sandals of the guy that carries the sandals of the guy that carries the sandals. That's how unworthy I am. But he called me. And then it dawned on me the true reason why Jesus comes to change everything. Because he loves us so much. And he came to change the norms. He came to change what society thinks of us. Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for the broken. Jesus actually came for the sinners. The very fact that Jesus chose this donkey shows us that even though this colt had never been ridden before, it had a destiny. This donkey had a purpose. He was not forgotten, but he was chosen by God long before this Palm Sunday over 2,000 years ago. And that, church, is that little bit of truth gives us hope. Jesus choosing that donkey showed us that no one is forgotten. No one gets left behind. It doesn't matter what your status is in this world. Our Father sees us. He is El Roy, the God who sees you. He sees the unseen. He sees the forgotten. He sees the broken, and he sees the sinners. And yet he chooses to love them. The very fact that this animal sat there waiting for God's perfect timing is a reflection that God never forgets about us, church. And that we also have a predetermined time. We have a destiny that is meant for you. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still broken, still separated from God, Christ died for us. God loves you so much, church, that he sent his son Jesus, who was accomplishing something new, something different that had never been done before. Normally, they would have brought the lamb to the slaughters every year for our sins. They would sacrifice these lambs, but Jesus was coming to do something new. Jesus came to free us, one sacrifice for all. He came to forgive us of our sins. He came to save us from that eternal death. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16-17. Everybody knows this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to offer forgiveness, church, not condemnation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those are powerful words, church. I underlined the word so. I talked about this last week. This little word, so much power. This little word. When you look it up, this tiny word so in the dictionary, it means to such a great extent. God loves you so much, to such a great extent that he gave up his beloved son for the forgiveness of sins. Now that's a powerful love, church. That is such a love that cannot be taken away, that cannot fade like this world, that cannot be destroyed. It cannot be taken away from you. God's love is unchanging, it's steady, and it's unwavering. Despite our own shortcomings of sin and the tendency of us to drift away from God, God's love continually calls us back to him. God's love is content, it's constant, it's healing, it's soothing. It's a source of safety in a world where giving and receiving love is often conditional. The Bible says that God's love is unchanging and unconditional because there is no comparison. God's love cannot be compared to the worldly relationships' love. Because even though we try not to be selfish, we love for a purpose because we want to be loved back. We love those who love us, who treat us right. What makes God's love different from our love is the selflessness in his love. We love because of how we want to feel. God's love is a pure love, church. His love is not driven by what he gets out of it. He simply loves you because he is love. That is his nature. His love is unconditional. He loves us on our good days, and he loves us on our bad days. And you can ask my wife, I probably have more bad days than good days. But he loves us no matter what. That is why Christ's reign would be unlike any other king that this world has ever known. He did not come to condemn us, but he came to forgive us. And choosing to ride on this donkey shows us that Jesus came to take upon himself the burdens that this donkey would normally carry, the heaviness that we carry. He came to give us freedom and a peace in our lives, church. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is calling us to him. He wants to carry you forward. He wants to carry your burdens. And he wants to teach you. He says, "Learn from me." The world desperately needs salvation, wisdom, hope, freedom, real peace, and real love, and much more. And all of this can only be found through one person, and that is Jesus Christ alone. The world cannot give you the love and the satisfaction that you are looking for. Jesus came to help us carry these burdens of life. He came to forgive us of our sins and to bring us back into a personal relationship with our Father in heaven. Jesus himself tells us in Luke 19 to 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Church, God has sought the lost from the very beginning. This is nothing new. Even when Adam and Eve sinned in the very beginning and they broke that relationship with God, they hid themselves from God in the Garden of Eden. And God called them out from their hiding place. God called them out from their sin and from their shame. And today God is calling you and me out of our past mistakes. He's calling us to accept this gift of freedom and redemption and salvation. He is calling us to forgiveness. He doesn't want us to miss out on his kingdom. The Apostle Paul states in Romans 3, 23 to 24, that we have all sinned, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. That is why Palm Sunday is such a significant event for us today, church. It's not just about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about what's happening to us in this moment. The crowds welcoming Jesus with palm branches and shouting Hosanna, recognizing him as their king, means just as much as it did back then as it does today. He did not come to pass judgment. He did not come to condemn us, but to offer us forgiveness of sin and eternal life, seated with him at the right hand of the Father. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 4 to 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were still sinning and broken, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." That is an amazing statement, church. In fact, the book of Revelations makes the very point. When Jesus instructs John to tell the churches in Revelation 3:21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne." Church, many Christians aren't living outside, they're not living within their inheritance, within what God has given them. They're living outside of it. They don't realize that everything the Father has belongs to us, not just in the future. It's not just there for when you die, but it is there for right now. His kingdom is here. It is all of us. And he wants us to enjoy it, to live it out, to be a part of it. That is why it is so important to learn God's word. That is why it is so important to read his scriptures. Because there are promises in here to us. Because we are his children. When we read the Bible, we are learning his will for us, church. When we study his word, we are finding out that we are truly heirs to our Father's kingdom. You'll learn how to see yourself as God sees you, not how the world sees you, but how God truly sees you. in Galatians 4:7 that we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son and daughters, then we are heirs of God through Christ. When we accept Jesus into our lives, church, we are actually allowing him to sit on the thrones of our heart. I mentioned this in the first service. Like the song says, Jesus, take the wheel. Let him run your life. And then we will become children of God and heirs to all that belongs to the Father. Think about it, church. As children of the one true King, we are given all that comes with that inheritance. You have full access to God himself. You have his Holy Spirit that will dwell within you, guiding you and teaching you. Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. As Pastor David said in the beginning, we might all be entering into a hard week. We might be entering into the most broken moments of our life right now. But we know that when we share in his suffering, we will also share in his glory. What a precious promise and amazing truth that is, church. Everything in the Bible, every single blessing, every single benefit belongs to us. But we have to accept it today. He redeemed us from the curse by becoming and being made that curse for us, so that the grace and the mercy of God would be available to us freely. Church, if you have had trouble seeing yourself as a child of the Most High God, it's time to get rid of those religious attitudes that says you are just a sinner saved by grace. It's time to start seeing yourself that for more than what you are. It's time to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You were made for more, church. God wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to be a part. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you join God's family. You become one of his children. That is why Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is so significant to us even 2,000 years later. We are not forgotten, church. We are not forgotten because we are loved and we are seen by the God of the universe. We are not forgotten because we are chosen and we are set free and forgiven. We are not forgotten because we have a future in heaven full of worship and praise for all eternity. And that future starts today, right here. We are not forgotten because 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim and praise the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are made for more. Church, you are not forgotten because he loves you and he wants a personal relationship with you today. And that is why Jesus chose a donkey to ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, so that we can celebrate in all our hearts that we are not forgotten. Now, as we come towards the end of this message today, I want to call up our prayer team. And I want to give us an opportunity, wherever you are in this moment in your life, if you're entering into that week, that holy week, broken, if you're entering into the most hardest moment of your life, if you know somebody that is lost and you want this salvation for them, then I ask of you to come up to the prayer team. When they come up, I ask you to come up. Bring your prayers. Bring your brokenness. Whatever it is that has been holding you back from being a part of God's kingdom, from enjoying your inheritance today, whatever it is, I want want you to come forward and have our worship, our prayer team pray for you. I want to give us that opportunity, knowing that we are made for more. God is not finished with you. If you think that you have been forgotten about, if you think you have been passed over, if you think your sins stop you from being a part of the kingdom of God, it does not. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on that cross for you. So join us.